Blog Talk Radio.
Denise Griffiths is your partner in success. Tune in each Friday as virtual assistants, industry expert, web developer, and online entrepreneur Denise Griffiths interviews industry experts from one end of the internet to the other. These expert entrepreneurs freely share their business building knowledge and provide practical guidance that will show you how to build and grow your own very successful business, be it online or traditional brick and mortar. Now, ladies and gentlemen, your partner in success, Denise Griffiths.
So good morning, everybody, and welcome to the show. I hope you all had a great 4th of July. I know a lot of us had a long weekend. I took one, too, even though I hadn't really scheduled it, but goodness knows sometimes we need it. So I'm glad to see everybody here, and today I am delighted to welcome back one of my very favorite people to the show. In fact, he was my first guest when I first started Your Partner in Success. So today we have fee-setting expert Tom Buford, and we've covered a lot of territory, but today we're here to talk about overwhelm, and we all have it at some point. Every day, service professionals are leaving hundreds and even thousands of dollars on the table by undercharging for their very valuable products and their services. And Tom is a fee-setting and marketing strategist, so he's going to be revealing really common mistakes that service professionals make when they're setting their prices and their fees, and how they can instantly overcome them. And for people like me who are in the virtual assistance industry who provide virtual services, this is really important news. So Tom is going to talk about that. He tells me that using his techniques, many of his clients have been able to double their fees and attract more clients than ever before. And I know some of his clients, so I know that to be true. So you're very welcome to call in to speak with Tom today. The number is 347-843-4988, or you can visit us in the chat room at blogtalkradio.com/Denise-Griffiths. So good morning, Tom, and welcome back to the show. I haven't spoken with you in a while. We've both been so busy, and I'm really happy to have you here today.
Well, thank you. I appreciate it, too. I forgot. That's right. I was your first interview. That's going back a little while.
You were. Yeah.
That's back when I was a single man and living in another house. Lots of change.
Well, tell everybody your news.
I'm going to be, I'm engaged and am going to be married. The ceremony is going to be October. That's going to be for friends and family. My girlfriend's actually from Lima, Peru, so she has a lot of friends and family coming up. But we're actually getting married this weekend. So the technical side of everything, why do we have to wait till October? So we're both excited about it. So, but we're going to have the big party and celebration in October. So.
Nice.
Yep.
I saw your Facebook. On your Facebook, you posted your marriage certificate, license.
Oh yeah. Carla did.
Yeah.
We got our license to get married. So.
Nice. Well, congratulations. I'm really happy for you.
Thank you.
I mean, you sound like you're just a very happy man right now.
Oh yeah. Yeah, things are going well, so I can't complain.
Good. Well, for those of you who may have missed in the audience this is your third time here, isn't it?
Gosh, it is,
isn't it?
That's right. Yeah, I think you're right.
Yeah, it is. So for those of you who may have missed earlier interviews, you need to go back and listen to them. They're chock-a-block full of information. But, Tom, just for those of our audience who may not know who you are or what you do, tell us a little bit about yourself and how Charge What You Deserve came to be.
Sure. For those of you that are new to me, or maybe you know who I am or have heard some of my stuff before, I've been doing the Charge What You Deserve bit for about 3 years now. And I was actually got started in my first successful business years ago in the automotive painting industry. So far removed from coaching and training and whatnot. But I had a really good business for a long time, for about 10 years I owned the business and was, making a good six-figure income, but I was started to have some health concerns with that. I was in the sun quite a bit. I had to go to the doctor for some biopsies, had some pre-cancer scares, all this good stuff. So that, and then being around the paint chemicals and whatnot, I realized that this is not something that I can continue to do if I want to stay at my you know, best health and everything, and certainly the money was good, but it's, you know, that's not the end-all be-all. So I kind of did some soul-searching, tried to decide, you know, what would be a good next step. And, of course, I had a lot of business background and marketing background, having owned a business for so long and you know, have a degree in marketing. So I started looking into coaching and training, and I went through a coaching curriculum, and it was good. You know, I think it was a really good coaching school, taught me how to be a better coach, although I think what I do now is more training than coaching, but I can always wear that hat when I need to. But one thing that was missing is there was really no guidance for any of us on what to charge. You know, we were just told to look at the competition, and that didn't really make sense. You know, if you're a, you know, coming out, you're trying to establish yourself uniquely and create your own niche, then who are you going to copy, and how do you know that that's successful for that person? Mm-hmm. So I started to kind of dig into it, and I did my own interviews. I actually interviewed 12 very successful entrepreneurs who had been through it, you know, went through the whole, and it was everyone from, you know, feng shui consultants to trainers, coaches, you know, it ran a pretty wide gamut. And then that's how Charge What You Deserve came to be. You know, it's when I came up with a name and decided to move forward with this. It was an area that I was passionate about, wanted to help other people around this, and here we are a few years later. So it's been quite a journey.
Well, and that is, I mean, you bring up a great point, because too many people say, listen, you can do this and you can do it well, go forth and prosper, without any further input. And you're right, how do you know what to charge? And you can look around. I did this when I first started out as a virtual assistant, and I kind of did the average of the fees. But then, and this was before I met you, I went back and I looked at what they were offering as opposed to what I was offering, and I doubled what their fees were, and I get them because we're just so much more technically able than a lot of them were at that time. So had I gone with kind of the prevailing wisdom at the time, I'd be working really, really hard, a lot harder than I actually am, and I wouldn't be as successful as I am, no question about it. So you have to, and I think you and I have talked about this before, but you really need to look at it, what it is that you're offering, and make that determination what that's worth, don't you?
Oh, yeah, definitely. And you can probably hear my dogs agreeing, too.
Yeah, I heard that.
I think someone made some noise outside. It's usually so quiet. But, yeah, you know, you have to determine your value. And the thing is that everyone has value to offer. I don't care who you are. I don't care if you're just starting out. The problem is that when you look at it and you say, oh, I'm just starting, so I've got to start cheap. It just sets you up for a long haul. I mean, you're going to really struggle. It's a lot easier to set your fee where you want and where you know that you're happy, and then find out what clients are willing to pay for. You know, and that's the bottom line.
Well,
in the VA industry, can find VAs for $5.
Go ahead. I'm sorry. I want to go back to cheap when you're ready, because that word really grabbed me.
Yeah. Well, you can find VAs from $5 to $65 and up per hour. So, you know, if you're going to start, you know, I tell people, listen, any industry you're in, if you want to meet the demands of your market, then you're going to give yourself away for free, because there's always someone that won't pay anything for what you offer.
Right.
So that's why coaches are giving themselves away for free.
Oh,
and
really?
It doesn't work. No, I know. Almost every coach I know that's struggling, they're giving everything. It's like, well, I do these free sessions, and they're 60-minute sessions. They're not sessions that are designed to enroll people into their practice. And they wonder why they're struggling.
Well, then what's the point of even doing it?
Well, you know, they've been told you have to get free strategy sessions and all this, but they're not taught any way of converting those people into clients. So it's a tough situation. And they don't differentiate between a free enrollment session and a free coaching session, and there's an enormous, enormous difference.
There is. And I know what you're talking about, but can you kind of explain to our audience what the differences are there?
Well, if, you know, say you're working with someone for the first time, and, you know, the dogs are probably going to bark a little when someone's coming
they
over to my
house.
They don't
bother me. I have cats. They'll probably start fighting in a minute.
That's right.
That's the beauty of working from our own home offices. You get what we live with is basically what happens.
That's right. Exactly. So, you know, a coaching session, or, you know, free coaching session, this would be the same thing if you're talking to somebody that's a client as a VA. If you're talking to somebody for the very first time and you just start dumping information on them, it's likely they're probably not going to use the information to begin with. or they're going to be overwhelmed, or maybe they, you know, they asked a wrong question, because people don't necessarily know what they really need unless you have a conversation with them.
Mm-hmm.
So if you get in a conversation that's more of an enrollment or a kind of a feeling out process, you know, what is it that you need in your business, and what would it look like if you had this in your business? How would this help you? That makes it where now they can look at, well, yeah, I think hiring you would be the right move.
Mm-hmm.
And then the price isn't as much of an issue.
Exactly. In fact, I wish you could have listened in on a conversation I had last night with a gentleman who was referred to me, because both of my businesses at this point are, they're 100% referral based. And straight out of the chute, I understand when I'm talking with these people, they don't know what to ask me. They can't possibly.
Yeah.
So I have to explain, you know, I listen to what their business model is. I ask, what is your business model? What is your plan for your business model? And then I explain where we can fit in and help and assist and help them grow and, you know, do different things. We're not going to answer emails and, you know, do call center type of thing. But when I get off the phone with these people, they're like, oh, you can just see the light bulb going off.
Yeah.
But until, as a virtual assistant or any other service provider, until you can clearly and cogently explain what it is that you bring to the table, it's all just, remember the Charlie Brown, wah, wah, wah. That's all it is. It's just noise, because it doesn't make sense unless they understand what it's going to do for them. And that's your value proposition, and that's how you raise your rates.
Absolutely right. Yeah. Well, you know, some people, it's funny, because people are either looking for a bargain or they're looking for value. And you want to be the person that is positioning yourself in front of the people that are looking for value. And again, there's a big difference, because someone that's just looking for a bargain, they're looking for the cheapest person. That's it. And there are people out there
again.
Who'll never talk them into it. Yeah. But
right.
You want to create a value that you offer. You want to show the value that you offer. And it's not just the service that you're providing. It's what does that also provide for that person? What does that do?
Exactly.
When they can free up their time and they can have things done, they know that, okay, now I'm not having to have this headache about my web page being done or having my email marketing taken care of or whatever it is that you're doing. It's not just those tasks that you're charging for. It's that freedom that you allow that person to have as the business owner.
Right.
And if
right.
they're billing, say, $100 an hour, then it behooves them to hire somebody that's competent to take care of some of these things.
Oh, absolutely. And you've said cheap a couple of times. And in my experience, I haven't done this, but I coach and mentor so many new VAs, and you know my industry is just exploding right now. And so many people can say, well, you know, like you said earlier, I don't know enough. I don't have a big enough presence. I can't charge $65 an hour or $40 or $50 or whatever they think their rate should be. And, you know, I need to go cheap or I need to give away something free. And I try to explain to them, you're attracting those words. You're attracting cheap people. You're attracting people who want free. And let me tell you, nobody really appreciates free. They just don't. They're like, oh,
sure.
Well, you know, there's no real value to it. So, you know, I'll use it, abuse it, and then I'm gone.
That's right.
And
well, they probably won't even use it.
All the time.
Yeah.
That's just it. That's just it. So, Tom, I know we've talked about this before, but I would love to hear your take on how setting fees too low can have a really negative impact on attracting clients. It's kind of in keeping with what we're talking about now.
Well, you know, I mean, number one is that if you're setting your fees too low, you are obviously not making the kind of income that you would like to. And you have to remember that you have all sorts of other expenses. So you might have come out of a job, maybe you were making $15 an hour at the job, or $25 or $30 an hour. And you come in and say, well, if that's what I charge here, that's fine. But realize that you have expenses in your business, you have to do the marketing, you have to get clients, you have downtime. So you're probably not billing 40 hours a week like you were at your job. And if you are, that means you're probably working double that to keep everything coming in and keep everything running. So, you know, you can't equate the two. So that's one thing you have to get out of your mind, is that corporate model doesn't work when you're working for yourself. But another thing is that you have to, you know, it's going to just put you out of business, frankly. I mean, if you're not making enough to make ends meet, and I know people that do that, they start off say, well, I just need to get some clients, so I'm going to start cheap. And again, using that word, cheap, because that's just all it is you're just trying to be cheap. And the problem is that you're not focusing on attracting the right types of clients. So you kind of, you know, like you said before, you know, you're attracting cheap. So what you want to do is you really want to focus on the value that you offer and then start attracting those clients that are, that's what they're looking for. So, you know, think about it. If somebody is willing to invest a little more in a virtual assistant, maybe 50% more than what you're paying right now, they probably have a business that's flowing a little better, right? They're not struggling in their business because they see the value here and they're willing to invest there. You're probably going to have a client that's going to be able to work with you, pay you on time, do these types of things. So you're just putting yourself in a different league. And I don't mean necessarily in a different league of the service that you deliver, but just in a completely different environment, a different type of client that you can attract, everything. Mm-hmm. And it just makes it so much better. Your entire business is better. And, you know, there is that accountability with people. You know, they have to think about it. And it's not necessarily so much in the VA industry as much as, in coaching kind of things where, you know, you're training somebody. But it really is important if you're providing information for somebody to use that there is some sort of investment on their part, just like we're talking about the free information. You know, people get it. You can give great information for free. Oftentimes, and probably more often than not, people don't even use it. But the main thing is that, we've all been guilty.
I download so many free reports, and I'll get back to, I'll go to that later because it wasn't something that I had to, give my PayPal account for or a credit card account for. So there's no real urgency.
And it could have
it's
been
always on
fantastic information. Yeah.
Exactly. And, every once in a while I'll take an afternoon. I'll say, I am just going to read all the stuff that I've been amassing. And I'll find some real gems and go, I could have used this 6 months ago. But because there was not that sense of urgency, the thought that I paid for this, I better go ahead and take advantage of it. It just got put into my to-do folder.
Yeah, which might as well have been your circular file.
That's exactly right. And it's a shame because there is some very good information out there. But again, it's a perceived value. And if it's free, what's the perceived value?
That's right.
So,
yep.
Well, really quickly, and I have this a lot, and I feel certain that you do too. In the VA industry in particular, and I know in the coaching industry because I work with a lot of coaches, they'll say, I started out at this particular rate, and I've got clients who have been with me a long time, and I can't raise my rates on them. Answer that one if you would, because I hear it all the time.
Yeah, I mean, why can't you? You definitely can. And if you are getting better at your job and you're more experienced and you're more efficient, then, at the end of the day, you're probably not even charging them more. You know, my VA, I've been working with her for quite a while, and she went up $10 an hour on her fees and sent out a very, nice, cordial note letting people know. And I said, fine. I don't want to lose her.
That's exactly right.
She's providing value. If you're providing value to your clients, they're not going to want to let you go for $5 or $10 an hour. And one thing that I do recommend that people do, if you're nervous about that and you really want to, say you're at $20 an hour and you want to get to $40, that could be sticker shock for your current clients, doubling your fee. So what you could do is go up to $30, meet them in between right now, and let them know that over the next 6 months you're going to get up to the $40 an hour, something like that. What you're doing is you're doing a favor for them. Basically, you're giving them a discount of $10 an hour, and that's the way to look at it. And if you just focus on that itself, and then also remind them of the value that you offer, of the things that you've done for them, of how much you appreciate them, and that's the reason you're not just jumping up to your new fee. But, businesses grow and people grow, and that's part of it. In any training or any sort of service profession, you need to be getting your fees up. And if you have long-term clients and you refuse to do that, then you're never going to make any more money.
Mm-hmm. And it may well be that if you have a long-term client that does not want to go along with your fee increase, most of them will. I firmly believe if you're doing your job properly, if you were their strategic partner and you're doing everything you can to help them build and grow their business, they're not going to care. I mean, they're going to pay whatever it takes, within reason, obviously. But if you have one that balks, it may be time. It may be time to do something different. Either they're not particularly happy with the progress that's being made, or they genuinely can't afford you.
Yeah.
So either way, it's probably time to just say, you know, you're still on my Christmas card list, and I wish you well. But
that's right.
We have to part ways now.
You know, I think usually if you look at this, and I've talked to a lot of people that agree with this, that the people that do drop off, if you sat down and you took out a piece of paper and you found, okay, the people that I like, and from 1 to 10, 10 being the best, you know, that's the level that I like to work with these people. So this person's an 8. They're always fun to work with. This person's a 7. Mm-hmm. This person's a 10. The people that are at the lower end of that are probably the people that dropped off. They're the people you really probably don't even want as clients anyways, frankly.
Exactly.
They don't gel with you as well as they could with somebody else or that you do with your other clients. So make room for those that you want and strive for getting those 7 to 10 clients or even 8 to 10. Mm-hmm. Say, you know, that's who I want to work with because that makes you enjoy your business more.
Mm-hmm. Well, my rule of thumb is if you get an email or phone calls from a particular client and you see that name pop up and your stomach hurts,
yeah,
you need to not work with them.
Let them go.
It's really that simple. Let them go.
I agree.
Because somebody else will come on. Exactly.
That's right.
Exactly. So one of the things that I wanted to ask you about, too, is when we're talking about giving your services away too cheaply or even in some cases free, and I'm seeing an awful lot of this. It makes my teeth snap together, but I'm seeing new VAs come on. We'll give you 5 hours for free. Just try us out. It's like, oh, please don't do that. So
yeah,
I'd like
I know.
You to address that. And then the other thing that I'd like you to address, if you would, is that what happens, at least in my experience from talking with a lot of new, you know, virtual service providers, is that they take on as many clients as they can. They're too spread out. They're charging too little, and they get resentful.
Uh-huh.
They start getting angry.
Yeah, of course.
So talk about those, if you would.
Well, I think that's one of the reasons, you know, when we talk about how your low fees are affecting your business. And that's one of the things that you are going to be resentful. If you're not charging enough for your services and now you feel like you're, quote, unquote, stuck, that's not going to make you feel very good about your business or your clients. Frankly, it's not your client's fault. It's your fault for doing that. So you're the one that's responsible for that. It's not the client's fault that, you know, they hired you at the price that you agreed to be hired on. But, you know, the bottom line is that you've got to stand up for yourself, too. But, yeah, I definitely, you know, giving away 5 hours for free, I've seen that, too. And it's like, man, I don't know. You're just, again, you're attracting the bargain hunters, not the value hunters.
Mm-hmm.
So you're going to have a struggle probably with those people, probably paying on time, giving you any work moving forward. They're probably always going to want something from you for free because guess what? You trained them that that's what you do.
And they're going to nickel and dime you to death.
They're going to nickel and dime you to death. Almost every single one of them will.
Yeah. And they're not going to be appreciative. And that's the biggest thing. I mean,
yeah, exactly.
Nobody minds working their fanny off if they can see results and if they're appreciated. But if you're constantly being just assaulted by a client that just you shouldn't have on the rolls anyway, get rid of them.
Yep, that's right.
Just lose them. It's not good for you. It's not good for them because you can wind up with a fairly bad reputation. You know, if you really tick off enough clients, if they're the wrong clients for you, you kind of set yourself up for that.
Yep. Well, you can also train your clients, you know, if you find those handful of really good clients and maybe you want more hours, there's nothing wrong with training your clients and letting them know that there are other things that you can do for them.
Mm-hmm.
So why not have a conversation, you know, and, hey, I'd like to talk to you, you know, for 20 minutes about some of the other things that I could maybe take off of your plate. So you come to me with a list of the things that you just don't like to do, and we'll see if I can help out with some of these because I might be able to do some things that you're not aware of, and it might even take less time and cost you less money than you think. Because oftentimes, you know, and I know from sitting where I sit, you know, I go through and I do things sometimes that I shouldn't, that I should have my VA do. But I do them because I can, and then when I think about hiring someone, I think, man, that's going to take X number of hours because it takes me that long. And then here, you know, Heidi does, and she knocks it out in a third of the time. So it's something that's what she's a pro at, right? So
So
you have to educate your clients in that, and it just takes maybe a conversation once in a while or sending out an audio to everybody at once, letting them know what they could expect, and it's never, of course, written in stone that, you know, this task is going to take X number of hours, but it might be significantly less time than your client thinks, and that might be some reason that they're not hiring you for some of these other things.
Right. And it could very well be that your client doesn't even know that you are expert at a lot of the things that you
That's
do.
Right. That's right.
I mean, for instance, my thought process is about the virtual assistance industry is that it is, seriously, you need to be continually educating yourself. Things on the internet change at the speed of sound. There are new systems,
yep.
processes, tools. I mean, if you don't know how to work in Camtasia Studio, you need to learn that. I mean, do you know anything about audio? There's so many things that you need to learn and stay on top of. And these are all things that will help you in your business and in your client's business. And in my firm, we are constantly talking to our clients about new things that we're learning, that we have come across. We're making suggestions. Look, we are very, very engaged with our clients, and they don't mind paying us what we charge
because
we are working in their best interest, and we're working constantly. When I say continuing education, we're learning every day something new, and we're exchanging ideas, and we're exchanging ideas within our client base. You know, we're talking back and forth. So you know, it's one thing to offer a set of skills, if you will, but if that's all you've got, this may not be the right industry for you.
Yeah. Well, you have to be willing to learn. I mean, anything. I mean, I'm a business owner, and I have a VA, but I still know all. I know how to do Camtasia. I know how to do AOLweber.
Mm-hmm.
I know how to do these things because, you know, at some point I was doing all that myself. And there are some times when it just makes sense for me to do. You know, I figure, okay, I can either create this letter and send it over to Heidi, or I can just do it myself. And this is the type of thing I'll just do myself because by the time I explain it, I've already done it. But most of the time, you know, I could just either pick up the phone and say, hey, can you knock this out? And then it's done. There's one thing off my plate so that I can focus on bringing the money in. But
and
one tip for a
be creative.
Yeah.
You know, she can't be creative for you. You have to do it yourself.
That's right. That's right. And one tip for VAs would be, you know, if you have a client, get on their, if they have a newsletter or something like that, get on their newsletter list and see what systems they're using. And make sure that you let them know, hey, I see that you're sending emails out on using AWeber. Just want to let you know that I can, you know, I'm very comfortable with using AWeber or Constant Contact or iContact, whatever. Or I saw that you had an audio. I've got some great suggestions for that, and I can maybe take that over for you. Or some video, you know.
Exactly. There's so many things that you can do. You know, as from the VA perspective, you can set up Google alerts for your client's competitors, if you will.
Yep.
And kind of monitor what's going on. And say, you know, that's a really great idea. I wonder if my client would be interested in going down a similar path.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
There's just, I sign up for competitors' emails, you know, their RSS feeds and their newsletters because I want to know what's going on both in my industry and my clients' industries.
Yeah, that's a great idea.
I read through a lot of newsletters, but I glean an awful lot of information from that. So there are just so many things as service professionals we can do. What are some of the main reasons, you know, I know you coach a lot of people, what are the main reasons that you find that service professionals of whatever ilk, why aren't they charging what they really deserve? What's holding them back?
Well, I mean, there's so many different reasons. You know, I gave a presentation recently, and one of the questions I led with was that, you know, why aren't you charging what you deserve? And we went for about 20 minutes just back and forth before I even really got into the presentation. Because there were so many things that come up. And usually, I mean, every single one I was able to kind of counter with, okay, but why? You know, I mean, really why? I mean, and then just kind of go at it to kind of alleviate that fear that they have. And oftentimes people think, well, I have to have more training or I have to have another degree. And you're never going to stop learning. So why would you wait until you're never going to be, quote unquote, done with your training, you know? I mean, I'm immersed in internet marketing, and I just invested $2,000 in a new program that I'm learning more about internet marketing. I'm going to come out of that more knowledgeable. That doesn't mean that I should hold off on charging what I deserve until I'm done with that program, because then there will be something else that I need to learn. But I'm way ahead of the curve relevant to my marketplace. You know, the people that I teach, as long as I'm ahead of them, then I'm fine. Same thing with the VA industry. You don't have to know everything, and I agree that you should be learning these systems. What do your clients need? And always learn. But that doesn't mean that you wait until you know everything, because you never will. Before you start charging what you deserve. So that's one of the big things. People think that they can't charge a fair price until they are, you know, they know everything, because you're never going to know everything.
Right. No, so if you wait for perfection, you'll be paralyzed.
Yeah, forget it. So just get a job, go back to work for someone else and get a steady paycheck, because you're never going to get the price up. So just get over that. Nobody knows everything. I'll be honest with you. I know some people that make big, big, big bucks. I mean, millions of dollars a year in their industry. Some of these are friends of mine. And there's a lot missing in terms of what they could learn. But they know enough to teach their marketplace, and that's all that matters. So just get over that piece, get confident, get out there, and start charging what you deserve. Another thing, though, is also assuming to know your market's priorities and budget. Right? So you just assume that no one's going to pay more than $15 an hour. Right? Well, if you assume that and that's all you put out there, then that's what you're going to get. So don't think of your own budget and priorities when you're setting a price for your marketplace, because you're not. It's not your checkbook that's coming out. So make sure that you know that there are people out there. And seriously, how many clients do you really need? It's not like you need 200 clients to make an incredible living. So there's so many fish in the sea. And especially for the VA, this is such an emerging field, and there so many people are just overwhelmed with doing the stuff themselves.
Yeah, that, absolutely.
You know, just makes sense.
Well, another thing, too, and I wanted to ask you about this, because, and I'm hearing more of this, which I'm wondering if there's a trend, but people will come to me and say, well, you know, what's happening, Tom, honestly, is that a lot of people are leaving the workforce, the traditional workforce, whether they wanted to or not. And they're now looking at virtual assistants as, you know, maybe the way to go. They're seeing a lot of it, you know, on the internet. And unfortunately, too many of them are saying, well, I was an administrative assistant. I'm ready to be a VA. And I have to explain to them that there's a huge amount of information that they need and skill sets that they need to be a really successful VA. It's not just a matter of creating an Excel spreadsheet or answering emails. It's way more technical than that.
Definitely.
Yeah, I mean, you know, because you've done it yourself, you know, you've done all these things online. And we work with online entrepreneurs, which is very, very different from a brick-and-mortar business. So they have to make that mental transition. But what I'm hearing, and I consider this a disturbing trend, although I understand it, I totally get why they're doing it. They say, well, I was making this much money, and I need to get enough clients to make a set amount of money. And they're looking at it backwards. They're looking at it from their budget perspective, as opposed to what they can do for a client who will adore them, refer them, and help them build their business. They're looking at it as a paycheck replacement, as opposed to building and creating and sustaining a business.
Yeah, a real business.
And that worries me a lot. So what would you tell people with that mindset?
Well, you know, I mean, I think anyone, and it's not just VAs. I think I was talking to someone the other day that said, well, if I just make this amount of money every month, I can get by. Like, but don't you want to do more than get by? I mean, you can get by working at McDonald's, probably, but you know, that's not necessarily that's not why you got into business. So, you know, why not create something that excites you? Because really what you're doing is you're just turning your business into a regular job. And that's kind of, you know, obviously pretty frustrating if that's all you consider your, you know, because there's so much energy that goes into having your own business. And I really do think that, you know, money's not everything, but it sure is nice to have it coming in when you're owning your own business. It allows you to put systems into place. It allows you to hire a team. So if you're a virtual assistant, one of the best things to do is to get your fees up, to fill your practice, and then to get other people under you that can help you out. But you can't do that. If you're charging, you know, $15 an hour, what are you going to charge someone else to come in? You know, there's no room for you to do that. You can't build that type of business.
No. And that goes back to what you were saying just a minute ago about, you know, nobody knows everything, and I'm smart enough to know that I don't. So I created a team. I've got 19 people that work with me. And what I don't know or don't have the time to do, somebody on my team can do.
That's right.
And we create this wonderful synergy, and we can do darn near everything from building and launching websites to article submissions to everything in between. Could I do all that on my own? Probably. Would I have enough time in the day? No. So you find a team, but your rates have to be where you can afford to comfortably bring in other people.
Yeah.
And the more people, the more clients who are just tickled to death with your services, the more clients you bring in, the more people you bring in.
Yeah.
So it's a win-win situation. You cannot do that at $15 an hour.
Nope.
And
definitely
a hangdog
not.
Attitude, which is what happens when you're working at $15 an hour.
Yeah, definitely.
Or 10, or giving away free. It's you're setting yourself up for unmitigated failure, as far as
yep.
I'm concerned.
So absolutely.
Tom, where can people? Oh, I'm sorry. Where can people find you on the web?
The easiest way is to go to chargewhatyoudeserve.com. So I've got a free report there called "The 5 Deadly Mistakes to Fee Setting and What to Do if You've Made Them," and you just go to www.chargewhatyoudeserve.com. I also have a blog there, which once you enter the website, you can see at the top, or just go to chargewhatyoudeserve.com/blog, and always have content up there, ton of content. I don't even know how many articles I have on there that you can access right there. You know, a lot of it's marketing, a lot of it's mindset, ways to overcome the fear of charging what you deserve and getting out there, ways to, you know, get in front of your target market, which is one of the most important things. You know, who do you want to serve, and then how do you get in front of them and position yourself as that go-to person. Then the price is really, you have so many people that want to work with you at that point that you could set your fee within reason where you want to.
Mm-hmm. Now, do you coach people still? Is that, because I know
yeah,
you
work
for a while.
Yeah, I do very little private coaching anymore. So usually I have, but I always have some sort of a coaching program or information product. Actually, one of the best information products I have on setting your fees is the home study system, which is chargewhatyoudeserve.com/system. And that's a great home study system. It's really kind of the cornerstone of my business right now in terms of, you know, when starting off with the fee setting. And a lot of that was, you know, some of the languaging was directed toward coaches because that's when I was entering this and created this program. But the marketing tools and the ideas are universal. So
right.
the concepts in there are the same. It doesn't matter. I've had people that were real estate investors that contacted me and said that they love the information. I thought real estate investors, interesting. But, you know, I had someone say one time, you know, I package real estate. I package land. And some of your concepts in terms of promoting value and not just the parcel was great. You know, I thought, wow, it really is that these concepts are, they're really must-haves for your business, whether you're a VA, whether you're a coach, a consultant, a trainer, therapist, a healer, no matter what it is you're doing. The bottom line is that you've got to get the mindset that you're not trading an hour for X number of dollars. You're trading some sort of value. And as long as that person, that client, perceives that as a good return on their investment, then and they feel that you're competent, then you're hired.
Mm-hmm. And you'll stay hired. I have clients who have been with me for years.
Mm-hmm.
I mean,
yeah, you got to deliver.
At this point.
You know, make sure you treat them right. And that's another reason to get your fees up a little bit, too, is that you can actually spend more time with that person. So what if you do need to spend an extra hour? You need to throw something in for free. Not that you, mm-hmm. not that I would tell you to make that the norm. But, you know, sometimes you want to give that little extra. And if you're charging $15 an hour, it's kind of hard to do that. But when your fees get up, then,
yes.
And people don't ask for it either. When you get to that certain clientele, those are the people that actually ask for fewer things. They don't expect
they absolutely do
things for free.
Because, I mean, they're working at a much higher level anyway, and they know how business works. So they're not going to expect you to stop cooking dinner and go, you know, put something into AWeber for them. They know better.
Yeah.
You know, they know that the work's already been done. If it's an emergency, you'll take care of it. But if it's not an emergency, it can wait until tomorrow.
That's right.
So, you know, you the better quality, and I hate to say it that way, you can probably tell me a better way to say it, but the better quality clients you attract, the easier your life is because they're already business people. They already know how business works. They have their business model in place. If they don't, you can help them with that. They know where they're going. They have a very clear idea of where they're going.
Yeah.
They just need to free up their time so they can get there on their time. So those are the clients that you want. You don't want the nickel and dimers. And, you know, God bless everybody who wants to start a business. I'm not faulting anybody, but those are not my ideal clients, and I don't take them. I don't even bother.
That's right.
I do refer them to somebody else who might be willing to take them.
Sure.
But we don't. I don't let somebody else drive my business model.
Yeah, it's very empowering to be able to do that, too. And when you do that, then that person wants to hire you, believe it or not.
Right.
I mean, I've experienced that on both sides of things, you know. So,
well, let's talk about that perception. The perception when you come to somebody, you know, somebody comes to me as a VA and says, okay, what are your rates? And I tell them, the first time I told somebody what my rates were, I had to just take a deep breath and just say it because I was worried. Uh-huh. Now I just, by the time we get to what my rates are, they're saying, how do I sign up? When do we start? They don't care what my rates are. They really don't. I mean, they already know what the value proposition is. They know what they can expect. They've already heard about me from other people. And when I explain what we can do for their business, they're like, what's your PayPal address?
Sure. Yeah.
It's really that easy. So let's talk about that perception, how people are so nervous about conveying what their fees are. What do you tell people?
Well, you have to get used to literally saying it. So, you know, it has to come out of your mouth. And I would recommend that people say it. You know, what do you charge? And you just say it. And there's an expression I heard one time. It's, you know, here's the salt, here's the pepper, this is what I charge. And it just has to be matter of fact. Like, this is it.
It is. Yes.
You have to say it. Say it and say it and say it. So say it in the mirror, say it to a friend, have that conversation, because then once you have a real conversation and the nerves are there and you're a little anxious, gee, are they going to say no, then, you know, you have to be comfortable getting it out of your mouth. And if you haven't said it, it really isn't like a muscle memory. You know, it's like exercising. You know, you take martial arts so that these things are second nature. Hopefully you never are in a situation. But if you're in a situation where you're having to defend yourself and you haven't done this to the point of just a reflex, you will never be able to perform it in that kind of situation. And obviously we're not talking about life or death here, but it is a similar concept that just say it, get used to saying it. And then, and of course, having said it as you have to clients over and over, you're very comfortable with that scenario. Mm-hmm. But the other thing too is to, of course, always focus, you know, be clear on the value that you offer, not just, okay, and I know I'm not just trading my time for money. I'm providing a real value to this person. And if they don't have me, they're going to be so stressed out. There are projects that they're going to miss out on. They're probably losing a lot of money in their business because they're having to spend time, you know, building their website or something where I could handle that instead of them getting clients, which is what they need to do. So really focus on that. And by the way, if you're really comfortable with what you're charging right now, Denise, I would say, you know, consider raising it $5 an hour. Because once you get to that point where you're just really comfortable, oftentimes that's the point at which you start thinking, you know what, let me go up a little and see what the market will bear.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So
I'm actually there. And I wanted to ask you about this. You were talking earlier about, you know, raising your rates for existing clients in increments. I think, and you can tell me what you think about this, but I think mid-year is a good point. If you're going to raise your rates and you've been thinking about it, July is a good time to start. And just say, well, listen, you know, maybe you're not comfortable with me raising my rates right now, but, you know, come the first of the year, this is what I'm going to.
Sure. Yeah, I think that's good. I also like to tell people on your birthday, you know, your fees go up, your birthday present to yourself is that your fees are going up. So it's at least once a year you're pushing it up. So
I like that.
Yeah, it's like your birthday present. And you don't have to tell them, you know, you don't tell your clients, hey, this is my birthday present to myself, I'm going to make more money. Because it is about, you know, the growth of your business. And let's face it, if you've been doing your job for a couple of years, you have no idea how much you've grown. And that's one of the problems. We don't realize how much we've learned. I think back, you know, I was doing a call the other day, and I thought of the information I shared on this call versus what I was sharing 3 years ago. There's absolutely no comparison.
Mm-hmm.
And but I don't know that. You know, it's hard to perceive. You have to be very conscious of this, or somebody else has to point it out. But as a VA particularly, because these are skills that you just get better and better at and you're more efficient. So, heck, the time that you're billing each client for some of the activities is probably half what it used to be. So you could double your fees and probably charge them less. Or add 50% to your fees and you're charging less than you were a year ago because you're so much quicker. You have this relationship with them. There's, you know the systems. You know everything so much better now.
Mm-hmm. And you're providing more as you go. You make a good point because I looked at some of my early documents for both of my businesses. My husband rebuilt my supercomputer into a bigger supercomputer this last month, and we were moving documents around, and I was getting rid of some documents. And I looked at my early list, if you will, my little profiles when I first started out, both in my web development, which is about 11 years old now, and then in my VA firm, which is, you know, about half that. Man, I was like, I have come a long, long way
in yep.
both of them. So I was really surprised. I was looking through these going, I was kind of an amateur back then. I mean, I was real
yeah.
proud of myself. But looking at knowing what I know now, kind of embarrassing. But the good is, you know, that I've really grown and will continue to do so.
But you still provided value back then, too. So
oh, yes,
I want to remind people
absolutely.
Of that, too. Even if you're just starting out, you're still providing value. You know, you might
absolutely.
Not be starting out with the most complex clients, so to speak, right now. But you can work that, work up there.
Well, I still have those same clients, so we must be doing something
yep,
right.
You did something right.
Yeah,
so.
Absolutely. So the economy, we can't have a conversation without talking about the
sure.
economy. What do you tell people who are concerned about, you know, maybe not being able to find clients or...
Get over it. Get over it.
I love it.
I'm telling you, I know people. I've got clients. My business is doing better now than ever. I've had people that are doing multiple six up to seven figures right now in their businesses.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know... It's an excuse to not get yourself out there and market. And, yes,
mm-hmm.
are there problems? Of course there are. Does that mean that it has to affect your business? No, it doesn't. The thing is, and I think the virtual assistant industry is, I think this is probably one of the best possible times because, and I
oh,
said this
yeah.
a year ago, and I think
yeah.
it's even more so now. Now people are aware, of, you know, more aware of what a VA actually is and what they can do for your business. Think of all the people. You know, these unemployment rates and numbers they're so skewed. It's not even
yeah,
funny.
You know,
I wanted to put an
is
R in there.
Is it 10%? Is it
10%? What does that
mean? Really?
You know,
well,
the 10%
more like 16. You know,
okay, but I don't mean that.
Numbers.
But I think it's actually the reverse, because
oh,
now
really?
A lot of people are temping. They're not falling into some of these numbers. A lot of people
right.
are being outsourced. They don't fall into that
and
number.
And they're contracting.
A
lot,
a lot of people are outsourcing.
Work. Right.
And a lot of people
right.
started their own business. So
that's
they don't
what
fall
I'm
in.
Finding.
So those people yeah. that are starting their own business or are outsourcing, guess what? They can use a virtual assistant. So there are more small businesses
now.
Cropping up now than ever.
Absolutely. We are busier now than we've always been busy. I mean, I opened my doors and instantly got clients and we've just gone from strength to strength. That's why I have 19 people working with me, and I'm actually getting ready to hire more. But let me tell you, we are so darn busy.
Uh-huh.
And we're actually turning away people that just kind of don't fit into our business model because we can't train them. We can't
yeah.
kind of drag them along.
Yeah.
But I'm spending probably several hours a week now referring people to other people who do have, you know, the time and the energy and the patience to you know, kind of help people who know nothing about online businesses. But those people who come to me who do know about online entrepreneurship, I'm there. You know,
yeah.
I'm willing to help them. But I'm seeing a huge influx of both new clients and new VAs, and it's an amazing time. So I'm with you. If you're not kind of looking at, you know, what's out there, what's available, yeah, it's shame on you, really.
Well, you know, and you have to think of all the numbers. The numbers that the vast majority of people have not been affected by
mm-hmm.
the poor, quote-unquote, poor economy. You know, the vast majority. My girlfriend just got a raise. She's looking, you know, I mean, she's had a job offer recently. You know, I mean, there are things out there. It's not everybody that's suffering. The vast majority
no,
of people have
no.
not been affected, okay? So it's just that scare factor, and the media buys into it, and they sell it like crazy. So that's why
mm-hmm.
it's so it's kind of paralyzing for a lot of people. But bottom line is that you've got to learn marketing, and people might be a little more discerning right now before they hire someone on for anything. That doesn't mean that they don't need what you're selling. You just have
right.
to learn marketing. And one of the problems that people get out there and that, well, my business isn't doing well, it must be the economy. Well, how many prospective clients have you gotten in front of this last week? Well, what do you mean? Okay, there's the problem. You know, you have to be building a community. You have to be getting in front of people, whether you're giving workshops or speeches or doing teleseminars or
right.
just networking with people that can get you in front of their client base. You know, think of all the coaches or trainers to a specific group of people. Okay, so think of coaches to coaches, right? So all these coaches out there, life and business coaches out there that, you know, a huge percentage of whom could use a VA. if you did a call as a VA, if you did a call with one of these coach trainers on systems and processes that can help them get over the overwhelm, I mean, you're suddenly right in front of hundreds, maybe even thousands of ideal prospects. You know, I just put a survey out recently, this last week, and it had almost 200 people respond to the survey. The number one thing they wanted were more one-on-one clients. Number two was how to create group coaching programs. Number three was how to get put systems in place to get over the overwhelm of running their business.
And
dead last was what to charge.
Oh, really?
Dead last.
Well, yeah.
Every time I do a survey, it comes in last.
Well, that makes sense, because until you know what your process, your systems and processes are, you can't possibly know what you're going to charge.
Yeah.
You can't back into that, can you?
Well, I think, no, I will disagree a little with that. I think that you better,
really?
I think before you even start your business, you better know what you're charging or you're never going to have a client come in. I think you can get rid of all this. Personally, if you're a coach and you just want to get a client, what do you really need? You need to have a process that helps your client and a way of taking a check, taking a payment. That's all you need. The problem is people get wrapped up in too many of these other things. But the ideal client for some of the VAs out there, these are people that already have a business, and they're moving forward with their business. Now they're overwhelmed, like, man, I got all this stuff to manage. I got an email account. I got PayPal or one shopping cart. I've got all these things. I don't even know how to handle this stuff. I've got to submit articles, blog, social media. So they want out of the overwhelm. That's where VA can come in.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, what are some of the action steps that, let's go back to fee setting. Give me some action steps that people can take right now, today, to begin charging what they really deserve for their services.
Well, decide what you want to make and don't, you know, lowball this. The problem is that, you know, I can tell you, you know, what do you want to make? Well, I can get by on, it's like, no, what do you want to make in your business? Because if you don't strive for it, it's never going to happen accidentally. And so what do you want to make? Do you want to make $80,000 a year? If you're billing 40 hours a week, you've got to charge $40 an hour. So what are you going to do to get that? But also back out the amount of time that you're spending getting clients and fulfilling, doing the fulfillment process. That's not a billing or a billable hour. And maybe that's 50% added on to the time spent with clients. So figure that number into it. And then what you have to do is look at it and say, okay, where is my marketplace? Who is going to pay this? You know, so often we want to help out, and there's nothing wrong with helping people out and giving somebody valuable resources, as long as it's not your time. But unless you want to call it volunteer work. But if you're in a business, you have to charge for your time. So, but you've got to, you know, it can't be charity work because your business will never survive. I'd rather see people charge a fair amount and then give something away as a charity, scholarship or something to people that really need it, rather than drop your fees down to try to meet the demands of your marketplace, because, you know, you can go down to zero. And I say this over and over and over. You know, if you're trying to meet the demands of your marketplace, you're going to have to give yourself away for free, because there are some people that won't pay anything for what you're selling.
Mm-hmm.
So set a price
that
makes you happy.
Them.
Yeah, they're not going to respect you. They're not going to use it. You're going to be miserable pulling your hair out trying to work with those types of people. So it's a lose-lose situation, really is. So to get out there, you have to set a fee that makes you happy. You know, if you want to make $150 an hour and the market doesn't bear it, then you need to either find another market or get into a different business.
Mm-hmm.
And that's, you know, pretty – or scale it out. And one thing you can do, too, is look at it and say, well, you know, I know I can get clients at $45 an hour. I want to make more than that. But then as long as I'm making the $45 an hour, I can start putting on different people. I can scale it out. I can add people to my business. And maybe I'm only making $10 an hour for each of those people, each one of those subcontractors. But that can add up to a lot of additional money.
It can, as long as you have a sufficient number of clients and you're supporting those clients properly. What happens in that situation, you become a project manager more than a VA. So, you know, that's certainly something to look at. If you really prefer to own the business and run the business and kind of monitor how everything's done, there's nothing wrong with that. You can be a multi-VA firm, but just kind of keep in mind you're probably not going to be doing a lot of the creative work if you're project managing a lot of people. I had to bring on a project manager because I didn't want to do that.
That's what I was going to recommend too. You can hire somebody to take care of
crazy.
Those things. Yeah.
I did. It's like, you know, you handle it. I'm going to do my work because I love building websites and I love, you know, creating new systems and processes for my clients. And I didn't want to be answering questions or training people all the time. So that's, you know, you have to kind of keep that in mind too. Now, I know one of the things you've always said, I'm veering off a little bit because we're running out of time, but you always say you need to be a sought after expert in your field, regardless of your experience. Can you chat a little bit about that?
Yeah, get your stuff in front of your market. And you know, I can't say, you know, I used to say this a little bit when I was getting started, and I was kind of gun-shy about it, and I was being seen as someone that was kind of out there. And, you know, I get people come up to me all the time like, oh, you're a marketing guru. I'm like, no, I do not consider myself a marketing guru because of the people that I invest in that I consider marketing gurus. But to these people, I am. And I was telling someone the other day, I said, you know, this might have been – you talking to me right now, you might have been introduced to me within the last 30 days. I recently did a big telesummit, so I added a couple thousand new subscribers to my newsletter. And so most of the people probably never heard of me before. But I picked up new, you know, I sold a lot of products. I did these people, they now look at me as being an expert because I share information on my topic that they're interested in. So they're looking at me as being the expert. So it doesn't have to take time to be an expert. If you're a virtual assistant and you have a way of doing your work, you know systems, you know how to set up a shopping cart or set up an email marketing account or do a web page, you're an expert. So get in front of that marketplace. It's kind of staggering to me that I don't see more VAs getting out there and doing teleseminars with trainers of business owners. So, you know, you've got these people that are trainers, again, coaches to coaches or coaches to healers or speakers or therapists or whatever, right? That is a market that's just dying to have someone help them with some of this administrative work. And if you did a teleseminar and just, you know, maybe you have a product to sell or, you know, you want to be careful what you're offering on a call like that because you don't want to give up, you know, your hourly fee, half your hourly fee to the person that's getting on this call. But there are people who would share that just to have this valuable information, just to walk through some of the systems and just provide some information, help them with some resources, show that you know what you're talking about. And those people will be contacting you. They're going to follow up. They're going to sign up for your newsletter if you have one or some sort of a freebie. So I always recommend, no matter what it is, you know, if you're a VA and you have five resources that you just think are killer resources, then just create a, you know, a five-page special report on that and go into detail, just a little bit of, you know, a couple paragraphs about each of those resources and why they're good and how someone can implement them. Now you have a reason for someone to sign up on your list, and you can just follow up with that people en masse and let them know when you're hiring, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So that's the way to do it is, you know, there's really nothing to being an expert other than getting your message in front of your ideal marketplace. And when you do that, you'll be amazed at how few people are actually doing that.
Well, and here's what I find, and we all talk about this, those of us who are internet marketers, and I am one, as are you, there's that know, like, and trust factor. And people, that's Blog Talk Radio cooking in there, people have to know you, they have to like you, they have to admire what you're doing. I'm pretty sure they're not going to buy from you. There's just a lot of competition out there.
But this is a social
media marketing model. I mean, you have to really be effective and busy on Facebook and Twitter and LinkedIn and, you know, just different places. You have to start talking with people. For me, I do it on Blog Talk Radio. You know, we do a lot of teleseminars. You know, you have to have the newsletter. You have to do, you know, audio booths and things like that. People need to really understand what it is that you bring to the table.
Yeah.
Because otherwise they're going to go to your competition.
That's right.
And who could
they want to hire somebody, so why not you?
That's right. That's exactly right. So, well, Tom, you have given us some great information, and Actually, speaking of teleseminars, I would love to do one with you if you're in.
Oh, yeah, so definitely.
We'll talk.
Yeah, we'll talk about that.
I
think it's great. People are dying to get information on, how do you, I show people how to create information products. One of the things I do, obviously, there's systems in place, and I share as much as I can. One of the things, do an audio and get it transcribed. Well, who do you know for a transcriptionist? So there's always, people always want these resources. How do I set up my instant teleseminar call? How do I set up my autoresponder? How do I set up my opt-in page? How do I, all these things need to be done, and people don't want to do it themselves. There are those people that just don't want to do it themselves. And if you can create
Sometimes they don't even know what needs to be done. They just know
that
other people are doing it, but they don't know the steps that they took to get there.
Exactly.
Yeah.
See, they see the picture. They see the big picture of what someone else has done with their business, and it becomes overwhelming.
Mm-hmm.
How can I get there? Well, hire someone to help you set that up.
Right. Excellent. Well, we will get on the phone and talk about a teleseminar. I would
love to
do one with you.
Sure.
And thank you. Okay. I've got your phone number. I'm calling you. Tom, thank you. Thanks so much for being with me here today. I always love
you.
When you come on the show.
I love being here.
Given,
thanks a lot.
Oh, you're going to be back. And you've given us some really valuable information, and I know this we're going to get calls because people love to hear from you. So
good.
Thank you, everybody, for being here, and the show is going to be available for download in about an hour. And this is Denise Griffiths and Tom Buford wishing you a wonderful weekend, and I'll see you next week. Thanks,
Tom. Take care, everyone. Bye, Denise.
Bye.
Bye-bye.